Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. I'm John, your host. This is an exciting episode coming up. This is week one. We're getting into it. This is the beginning of the season. I'm so excited, mostly because this is the first episode where this show is hopefully going to be once a week. Every Wednesday, I want to drop an episode of this show. There's potential to have to skip a week or two, or maybe delay it a day, so it may not always be on Wednesday, but I'm really hoping, really aiming for this to come out Wednesday, so I don't have to keep bugging you guys on the Discord. And this is the first episode where we're going to start getting into more of a groove, getting into a regiment with the content. So in the past couple of episodes have been basically just me writing down a random list of questions and spouting them out. But going forward, we're going to be a little more consistent with the content, a little bit more of a traditional type show. So this week, we're going to have a guest on to talk a little bit, see how they're feeling about the ESPN rankings, talk about their chances in their upcoming matchup, and then also getting in, making picks for the other games. All right, that's enough of an intro. I'm ready to get into it, and I know my guest is ready to get into it because this guy, I think, is disappointed with his team's 2021 performance, but he's coming back with a vengeance this year. ESPN has him ranked as the number one team in the whole league, and for good reason, because I can guarantee you that this kid studies more film each week than his team's own starting quarterback. That's right. We got Slick Rick, Eric Altman from Power and Vitality with us today. Eric, how are you now?
Holy shit. Wow, John. What an intro. Well done. Beautiful. I'm good. And you, you know,
as
our
bad.
Friends from Letterkenny.
There it is. Not so bad, man. Not so bad. Yeah. So, how are you? How are things in Eric Altman's world? How's the baby in the belly doing?
Hey, baby in the belly, we're doing well, so we cannot complain, but I will, go back to that intro. Hilarious shot at Kyler Murray, because that, I know we'll get into it later, but what the hell is that? How can you be a professional athlete and look at yourself and look at that contract, and how can, like, the agent let that through? That's just a bizarre thing to me, but
it's
wow.
It's crazy. If you got to put that in, you got to bury it so far down in legalese that no one is ever going to see it. And it's almost more embarrassing that they ended up taking it out because of the reaction to it. It's not great.
It's almost like the new Twitter edit button. Like, why even do it? Why even have it? Like, it's in there. People saw it. It was all over Twitter. Like, it's going to leak. So that's I don't know how you get away with that and how you move on, but obviously he has to play some football, so it's interesting.
Well, the good news is that Kyler Murray's actual football career and his career for Power and Vitality's starting quarterback are a little bit separated. They're not quite intertwined. So hopefully he has a good enough season that he can put you up some big points. Is he one of your biggest guys this year?
I drafted him as a rookie, so I think he was my backup when I first had him. And, he was my big keeper. It was nice this year to kind of have my stable of running backs in 1-2, right, with Taylor and Cook. But then I decided, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins had his legal issues, got rid of him. Kyler Murray, it was, come draft time, it was kind of nice to have my core. And then just fill in the rest of the team kind of with the best player available. So, I'm hoping for big things for Kyler Murray this year. But I'm also, on the flip side, found out, I think there was not a study, but someone on Twitter was able to triangulate that the week that there are Call of Duty updates or releases, because I believe he's on like an e-gaming team.
Right.
He plays technically worse on those weeks, so I gotta keep an eye out, and maybe I'll get more strategic with that throughout the year. Gotta keep up with the Call of Duty and week to week. So maybe Trey Lance will get the ball every once in a while, but we'll see.
That's amazing. Oh my God. Well, you're despite that, you're the preseason favorite, which has got to be a pretty good feeling. How are you feeling about the year?
I think when I look around the league, I think I may have dropped too. There was a trade which I know we'll get into too. But when I look around, I always look at you and Brian pretty much every year, just purely based on the big name expectations that you guys typically carry. Now, do those stars make it the duration of the season? Specifically thinking McCaffrey and your injury issues in the past. That's another story. So I think ESPN rankings actually have us 1, 2, and 3 to finish the season as well. So, you know, a logical reason that I'm looking forward to this year, but obviously looking above me in the rankings for this year's threats as well. So you're definitely top of the list, my friend.
Wow, that's such an honor. I didn't realize you had you had fallen a place. Oh wow, look at that. Yeah, you did. The Running Fools are now the preseason favorite out of nowhere. Well, not quite out of nowhere, thanks to Tom fucking Haley.
I was going to say that sheep. He screwed us over. You know, Brian put himself in that pigeonhole. He has that running back first mentality. He drafted too many. Guess what happens? And then mm-hmm. Tom gave him a scapegoat, you know? So,
gave him a
God damn it,
coat.
Tom. Goddamn.
Bumped Brian from 3-1, and Denny Irvine Gatorade stays right at 4. So,
would you believe
trade,
that?
Tom.
Great
you really
fucking trade,
it,
Tommy.
Jesus
Hope you had a great
Christ.
Move, Tom. Hope you enjoyed moving down to Aspen while you ass. So,
I would have loved watching Brian having to sit, like, I don't know, Joe Mixon and whoever the fuck every
Najee.
Fucking week.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to say, because he still has, what, now he's got McCaffrey, Mixon, Najee, and now, you know, he throws in, what, Justin Jefferson in the mix? As just I had him as, like, my number two wide receiver on the draft board. So
that's a huge gap.
Yeah. That's a huge get. Yeah. Derrick Henry, I mean, who he gave up, it's obviously Derrick Henry, right? But, you know, he was coming off an injury, I think, last year. So you never know. Like, is he going to return to true form? It's, I would imagine, because he's the workhorse, but you never know.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. I thought we had an unspoken agreement that we weren't going to trade running backs with Brian, but whatever. Tom did what he felt was best for his team. So you touched on a little bit who you think your biggest threats are. Do you think Brian is the top guy you're going against this year?
I still think, I think similar to what I just said with Jefferson, I'd put you guys 1A, 1B. And, you know, specifically, I know I touched on Brian's team a little bit, but looking at your team, so I specifically and historically have always had an issue playing against you.
Yeah.
I think I looked at, it's kind of cool on the app. It's like you can look at the history of the league, and it kind of gives you some stats. So you, out of everyone, I have the most issue with actually winning every year. So I think I'm 5-7 over the last 8 years. So for you specifically, really got to look at your star power with your guys. I feel like your team is littered with the type of guys that can have those fuck you type weeks, right? And put up like numbers that allows your entire rest of the team to be quiet, but you still pull off a win. So, you know, you look at Mahomes, he speaks for himself. Side note, I still think you won that trade a couple years back with me. I believe I traded you DeAndre Hopkins a year that kind of won me that league. Mm-hmm. But long term, obviously, worked out for you. But I digress.
Yeah.
I look at Eckler. You know, I go back to that SRK Stiller game last year when he put up 38 points. I think
Huge.
He scored like two. He only had 50 yards, but like two touchdowns on the ground, two touchdowns to the air. And I had Mike Williams. You had Eckler. I think you had Eckler last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I think I was going in like, oh, I you know, we're kind of like within 5 points, and then you just blew me out of the water. So
Yeah. That was a tough game. I hate. I honestly most times will bench players that are playing the Steelers because I like the Steelers more than I like my fantasy football league. I just do, and I don't want to have that in the back of my mind every time, you know. Joe Mixon touches the, not that I've ever had Joe Mixon, but, or like right. Austin Eckler, but every once in a while, it's just like, there's no one else. This guy is just unreal. I got to leave him in the lineup, but I hate doing it. But last year, one of those times I had to do it.
That's why I try to stay away from the AFC North guys. And you know, I can't stand it.
But yeah, let's get to your team a little bit because, your team is also pretty star studded. Were you happy with your draft? Was there anything that you remember? I know it was a few weeks ago. Was there any pick where you were like, ah, damn, I wish I had gotten that guy? Or are you pretty much happy with who you have?
No. Well, first off, I'd like to applaud Commissioner Glancy. You know, what a great setup.
Mm-hmm.
Have everyone in person this year was huge. You know, whenever you have someone kind of on the phone, it kind of sucks to kind of have the back and forth. So that was really great. Also really like from Peanut, you know, Peanut Heaven, people chirping Randy. Drafting a questionable running back early in the draft. There was like a guy behind us. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, for my draft, I know I touched on my keepers already. So I think in my draft, I was really just able to go for the best available, you know, for the first couple rounds and kind of filled out the team how I hoped for. Mm-hmm. So having, you know, my hope for the first round pick was either going, you know, Stephon Diggs or CeeDee Lamb, just because I kind of wanted to have that wide receiver one. So sitting at number six, CeeDee Lamb, you know, or I think it was Stephon Diggs went right before me at five. So I was kind of a toss up, but I was happy CeeDee Lamb. It kind of set me up for, you know, production at the running back position. But then I also took some shots, which I typically do later in the rounds with some rookies that I'm hopeful one hit. So Breece Hall, and then the Whipple product, Sky Moore from Kansas City, who, you know, him and Juju are going to be competing for touches. So yeah. Overall, I was happy with the draft. Oh, and I forgot another rookie. I don't know what I was doing. I guess Drake London out of Atlanta. But I guess that kind of comes with, you know, who's going to be throwing him the ball, right? I think it's Mariota, but I would imagine Desmond Ridder is going to be backing him up, and, you know, if his seat might get hot, I can't imagine they wouldn't put Desmond Ridder in. So, no, I think, you know, I lost DeAndre Hopkins, but obviously he's suspended for the first 6 years. So I think you always look at your team and you're like, oh, yeah, I got a real solid team. And then you're just going to end up like, I don't know, like 4-7.
Right.
So I feel good, but we'll see once the games start getting played here.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like I harp on this every week, but it is tough in our league because only eight teams, every team is going to be at least somewhat stacked unless your name is the real American, Paul Randy Myers, because again,
let the shots begin
until the fifth round. But every other team is going to be completely stacked. It's tough.
I was gonna say, like, if you're coming against me, I got two of the top five running backs, arguably, you know, right, from last year. So Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor. Like, I want to say good luck to that, but then you're right. You look at Brian; he is the same thing. Like, that shouldn't happen, but it does in our league, and I think it makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely does, definitely does. And it'll be your lineup looks star studded, like I said earlier. So interested to see how you fare this year. But were you in any discussions for trades this summer or since the draft? Anything going on the GM side of things?
Nothing since the draft, but, you know, I intended to stay pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. I did not actively seek any trades, but I know it was the week before the draft. I want to say the weekend before. I was actually in discussion with Commissioner Glancy regarding the number one overall pick, which I obviously did not foresee coming my way. From what it sounded like, he was shopping it around heavily, though. Mm-hmm. But in my case, he wanted Jonathan Taylor and my first overall pick, which was the sixth overall. And in return, I would get Godwin, Zeke, and the number one overall pick as the dangling fruit out there. So kind of what made me ultimately say no to that was I had zero interest in Zeke. Or Godwin, just, you know, or the number one, you know, for giving up arguably the number one running back in this year and Jonathan Taylor, mm-hmm. and an automatic keeper for my team, hopefully for, you know, many years. So I would essentially just be swapping out for someone lesser, in my opinion.
Right.
And with the number one overall pick. So I think, you know, we eventually went back and forth and ended up with, I think it was Taylor, you know, I would give him Taylor for his first overall pick with me keeping my pick, but I decided to walk away. It was a tough one for me. I drafted Cook or Taylor as a rookie. So turning that into like a keeper, I like to keep those. I kind of have an attachment to those type of guys, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's tough to get rid of. Yeah. So, Glancy was shopping it around pretty big.
Did he come your way at all?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he did. He actually almost got one over on me. I can't remember exactly what the trade was now that I think about it, but it was something and his third round pick. And I was like, maybe if you make it your second round, I'll think about it. And he said, okay, sure. I'll make it the second round. So then I was trying to like put together another deal based off of that. Cause I forgot like a dumbass that it's a snake draft. And if he's the worst team, his third round pick is directly after his second round pick. So it was just going to be one pick earlier. So obviously he was like, yeah, that sounds like awesome to me. But then
he's a tricky bastard.
He was tricky. But as I was like trying to put deals together, I finally put it together. But yeah, so it didn't go through. But he almost hoodwinked me, but didn't quite
Honestly,
happen.
I thought when I was talking to him, I was under the assumption that X, because you had an issue with loading your keepers, I think. So I was looking. I'm like, okay, who could I realistically get with the first overall pick? I'm like, oh, Austin Eckler's up there, perfect. And I'm like, yeah, I can like maybe swap him out and like get Austin Eckler, and then me like a dumbass. I'm like, he's not even on the board, so I'm like, yeah, Dave, I'm out. I can't.
Yeah.
There's no way. I'm not gonna. I think it was I think he drafted Cooper Kupp, which is obviously the number one wide receiver. But yeah, I wanted a running back first round, so I
Yeah.
backed out.
Well, your running back game looks pretty solid with JT and Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette as the flex. Is there a position that you think is a little bit weaker that you know, maybe are looking at the waiver wire, maybe you're looking at some trades?
Yeah, I think it's I mean, logically, right? I think it's got to be my wide receivers. So I'm confident, I think, with CeeDee Lamb, but with scary Terry McLaurin in my number two spot, I just don't feel as great. I've had him a couple years and he's performed well, but I don't think he hasn't had the best QBs in his past, right? And
right.
With the Commanders, but I think he hasn't cracked the top 20 in terms of point production yet in his career. But you know, I know the Colts experiment didn't really work out exactly for Carson Wentz, but I'm hoping maybe, you know, new place, new face, maybe the old Carson Wentz of whatever it was it his rookie season with the Eagles that he was kind of like an MVP candidate until he like got hurt, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I think it's got to be wide receiver just because I think on the bench I have like Waddle and I don't even know who else. I guess Drake London, right? My rookie. So
Hollywood
not extremely
Brown, too.
Deep. Hollywood Brown. So, you know, that I guess that goes to the other portion too. I know we touched on Kyler Murray and kind of how he's had an interesting offseason, but I like to pick, you know, whoever my starting quarterback is, and I think Tom does the same thing, probably others too, but you know, pair my starting quarterback with whoever their, you know, quote unquote number one wide receiver is supposed to be. So
right.
Yeah, like hopefully Hollywood Brown, maybe he can take the spot of, you know, Terry McLaurin, but yeah, let's, I think wide receiver for me, I was so confident with my running backs, just wide receivers, obviously the one glaring position for me that could be a little downer.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Well, let that be a message to everyone else in the league. You know, if you're looking for trades and you got wide receivers to trade, obviously not Tom, cause he traded away his best wide receiver to the guy with 15 running backs, but anyone else, I guess, who's listening can look to for power and vitality to make a trade with potentially
on the market. That's right.
Yeah,
I like it. Appreciate the plug.
Absolutely. And now a word from our sponsor. Tired of bad wood sold to you by intimidating warehouses that seem to be 10 football fields long? We've all been to the big construction stores with their endless aisles and stupid employees who you're too embarrassed to ask for help. And even though you're almost 30, you feel like you never really received approval from your own father. And so now you're afraid of disappointing the strange man in front of you by not knowing the difference between nails or some shit. And even if you did muster up the courage to ask for advice, you feel too self-conscious about your lack of even the most basic construction terms to ask any of the necessary follow-up questions to make you actually understand what you need. So then the guy starts talking, and on the outside, you're nodding and giving verbal active listening cues like, ah, okay, and right, right. But on the inside, you're thinking, I'm way out of my element. I'm just going to buy something on Amazon that'll work just fine. And sure, it'd be expensive, but oh shit, did he just ask me a question? And then you say something to try to simultaneously save face and end the conversation, like, oh yeah, I think I see what you're saying. I still haven't measured the space yet. I just wanted to come get an idea of what I would need first. This has been super helpful. Thanks so much. And then you walk out and pretend that you both don't know that you have no idea what you're talking about. Then stop on by the Paul Lumber and Supply Company Warehouse at 4072 Liberty Avenue in Pittsburgh's Bloomfield neighborhood for all of your good wood needs. They are full of a friendly dad who you've known for 20 years because you're friends with his son, who also works there. They already know how stupid you are, so you can feel comfortable knowing that they care about you anyway and will tell you what you need. With some of the widest variety of good woods in the tri-state area, they can help you with wood from bench and table wood to house and shed wood, and only the hardest stuff for Paul Lumber. Birch wood, oak wood, weeping willow wood, cherry wood, redwood wood. If there's a wood that you need, then you better call Paul at 412-681-PAUL. That's 412-681-9200. The Paul Lumber and Supply Company, a one-stop shop for some really, really good wood. And now, back to the show. As far as the ESPN rankings go, because you were originally number one before the blockbuster trade, how did you feel? Like, did you feel you were truly the number one? How did you think that everyone else was looking based off their rankings? Because I feel like it's always a little bit of a crapshoot. I don't know how they make those.
Right.
I've never really tracked it, but I would be surprised if it was always very accurate. But what did you think about the rankings when you first saw them?
Yeah, I'd be curious too, like whatever algorithm they use. But
yeah,
you know, overall, yeah, I don't think I'd change up too much. I was looking at it today. I think the two bookends right now, Brian leading the pack and Rando, a distant eighth, kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, man, looking at Randy's running back situation is tough. I know the guy didn't draft until what, the fifth or sixth round technically?
Fifth round, I think.
But
yeah,
when his first running back, whatever it was, Edwards-Helaire, his I looked at his profile this morning, like the ESPN kind of like projection. Mm-hmm. Whenever that ends with, quote, he is safest as a flex, but there's some post hype appeal here, that provides me little to no hope.
Yeah.
In this league specifically, when it's like a 0.5 PPR league.
Right.
And it's like running back is a premium and you don't have anyone, like, Jesus, Rando. Piling on to Rando here. You hear me, Rando?
Yeah.
I think his team is the only team without a playoff percentage greater than 40%. I think he sits at a miserable 18%, and the next closest team is Diddy with the soup cans, which is like 42%. So again, don't know how ESPN does it. And Randy, I'm probably not done like ragging on you today, but like that is brutal.
Yeah,
absolutely brutal for Rando.
Lower than the team that didn't even set keepers. That is rough. That's not great.
His, you know, that mentality. He sold out. He got his championship. So all the power to him. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how that sets you, you know, going forward. So that's that was his choice. But no, I think, John, everything else in between is kind of like a toss up to me, but looks to be pretty even across the two divisions. I think as it sits, it's kind of me and Tom are projected to represent the playoffs from the East, and then you and Brian are from the West. So I, mm-hmm. you know, I think other than what we talked about, I think I did find it interesting that the addition of Derrick Henry didn't move Tom up at all. And Brian adding Justin Jefferson moved him up those two spots to first place. So
yeah.
Thought that was definitely interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. So looking at the league and maybe not the rankings so much, but who do you think would be the Matt Chez of 2022? The absolute dog shit team that fucking blows that will win an infuriatingly large number of games and maybe squeak into the playoffs. Do you think that team exists this year?
All right, I love this question, and I also love how we can rip on our friends, because this is fantastic. So I lied. As much as I would love to say Rando makes a run at this thing again this year like he did last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, his team is dog shit, and his current state is just out of the question. So he knows that, I'm sure. So,
right.
You know, I know this about Chez this year, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like his team this year. You know, so looking at it right now, TB12, James Conner, Saquon, mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs, Deontay, Mark Andrews. So like as his key starters, I think that's a pretty solid lineup. So I think Chez this year is firmly out of that shitty team making a run category. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. He looks pretty solid to me this year, especially if Saquon can stay healthy and hopefully,
right.
you know, get back up to where we know he can be from his Penn State days. Hopefully the Giants have an offensive line now. I think that's been the only thing holding him back, because he's been putting up solid numbers, not jaw-dropping numbers, but solid numbers despite some injuries and the Giants being absolutely terrible. So I'm really hopeful as a Penn State fan that Saquon will take that leap this year and just go crazy. I actually tried to make a trade for him this year.
Why not? Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
But couldn't. But you know, Chez also being a stater, he thought about it for a second and said, "No way, I'm betting on Saquon," and I think it's a good bet. So
the true stater, just like, you know, you guys watching Penn State at a Pitt football game. I told that story today when we were at the tailgate. When you're like, you know, what are the chances that when we walk in and I ask for the Penn State football game to be put on in this area, what are the chances? I said, you know, not a goddamn chance.
Yeah.
But I loved the commitment watching it, and it was. You know, but yeah, you got to stay by your boys. That's why, you know, like if James Conner was available, I'm sure I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's tough to break those bonds, especially when, you know, Saquon has not had the best professional career. But that's the tough thing. It's not necessarily his fault, but yeah, tough to break those bonds from the college loyalty.
So I did not answer your question though, sir, and I apologize for that.
Oh,
so
that's fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I think in terms of a team projected to be kind of well in the bottom half of the league, I might have to say Dave. You know, could be the match as of 2022. Okay. I think Herbert's a star. Justin Herbert. Aaron Jones is always electric. So he was the, and Dave was also the lucky recipient, obviously, of Cooper Kupp in the draft. So getting arguably one or two of the best wide receivers in the draft. So I think he might be able to make some noise this year, but I still don't like Zeke. But if he can, I noticed Travis Etienne on the bench, who missed all of last year. So this is pretty much Travis Etienne's rookie year. And obviously he has that connection with, why can't I think of, oh, this is awful. And this is on for everyone.
the quarterback.
Just the guy, the dude with the flow.
Yeah.
He just got Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
God damn
go.
It. Yeah. So
that's fine.
That's all right. Watched him bury Pitt back in whatever year that was. Me and Randy sitting in the pouring rain, just hammer drunk in Charlotte. So yeah. that was fun. But no, I think he's got some sneaky depth. So I really think Dave could make a run at it if some of those guys hit.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. So, lastly, before we get into picks, because that's what's coming up next. If you had to compare yourself as a fantasy owner to an NFL coach, team, GM, or whatever, who would you be?
I heard Dave's response to this, and I know he made like a power ranking before this, so I struggled to try to with that question. So I tried to find a team that was like active in free agency, because I know Randy and myself really go at the waiver wire pretty much every week, just like flipping our team around, but who's kind of decently successful on the field. Because I would say, looking back at my last 8 years, you know, I've won two championships, made the playoffs six of those years, and, you know, had five of those years as top three finishes. So I think in terms of a comparison, I think they're, again, could get laughed off the face of the internet, but I think there could be a comparison, relatively recent Green Bay Packers, and I'll explain a little bit. So I think a team consistently at or near the top of their division, you know, and chronically making the playoffs. So my average result is third place in the overall league. You know, I had that COVID championship in 2020, and before that, my last was 2016. So really just a bunch of good regular season results and a limited number of championships. So when you look at, you know, kind of the Packers winning, always seemingly winning the NFC North, but their last Super Bowl was obviously back in 2010. So, you know, besides that, a lot of losses in the conference and divisional round. So that's kind of why the recent Green Bay Packers, I know their history is insane, but
yeah,
I think the recent Green Bay Packers with, you know, Rodgers and those guys, I could see a comparison maybe.
But no, I think that makes total sense. No, I love it because, like, as even their whole history, like, they're known as like a great football program. And they are, but like, how many Super Bowls do they have since, you know, 1970? Right. I think just two. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers each have one.
I think that's
I believe.
Right. I think you're right.
So yeah, I think that makes total sense. But at the same time, like you said, they're always up there, always in the mix, and that's definitely for power and vitality, always up there. I love it.
I'll fucking take it. Good
absolutely,
shit.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, well, let's start getting into the picks. This is what I'm most excited for, because haven't had a chance to do this yet. So far, this podcast has just been this whole series has just been me asking a whole bunch of questions about fantasy football to people. And I guess this is kind of a continuation of that. But now we're going to get some actual, real results. So let's get into it. Let's make some picks. Let's start. We'll start with my team. I don't know why I started with my team, but we're doing it. The Olifants versus the Running Fools. Eric Altman, who do you got?
Man, what a good one here. The Gill Street Classic in a slugfest to open up the year. You know, these two teams projected finish 1-2 in the regular season, so really couldn't ask for anything better, right, in terms of the Super Friends season. So I understand why you picked this one first, my friend. The Olifants usually come with that post-draft, I'd say, preseason hype, which I think is gonna be true this year. So, but I think this is the day that we are reminded that Brian's team is again for real. And a star power at running back room for Brian, I got to go with the Running Fools on this one. You know, and as he looks to get back on the championship track, but in a close one.
All right. Well, I, you know, thinking about it, because last year, I believe I also opened the season up against Brian. And, you know, lately, I mean, since he joined the league, he's been a powerhouse and tough to bring down. But I believe last year, I think I opened against him, and I think I beat him in the opening game last year. And you know what? I'm not buying the hype. I'm not buying the Running Fools. I'm taking the Iron City Oliphants by 5. That's what I'm taking. 120 to 115.
Go. I love that. I love the confidence. I mean, how could you not? How could you not, John? So this is – I'm sorry I had to go against you on that one, but that's a –
It's
I'm
all
confident
good.
In your ability.
It's all good. We'll see what happens, and maybe I'll be eating my words. But, you know, I don't know. I think as much hype as Brian is getting around our fantasy football league, I'm thinking he chokes under the pressure, but we'll see. You know what? Well, I was going to say something maybe a little hurtful about Christian McCaffrey, but I don't want to wish anyone ill, but we'll see how his brittle body holds up in week one there, against the Brownies.
Hey, you implied it. There you go. That's all I needed.
There we go. All right. Next matchup, the Real Americans versus the artist formerly known as the NPL MILFs, but currently known as That's a Technical Foul, Eric Altman. Who do you got?
You know, Chez, love that name change.
That's great.
The rebranding across the league has been great. I think I've switched up too many times, so I just kept it kaput. But man, yeah, what a logo, what a name. So I have this one labeled as the has been. Sorry, Randy, got to keep palling, bud. Versus the ultimate wild card, which is Chez. So I like this matchup as Chez obviously brought his team into the playoffs in a very obscure, non-standard way last season, and obviously, Randy is the reigning champion via his do-or-die strategy that has been deployed for many years. So, I like I said earlier, don't sleep on the technical fouls this year. I like the Pitt-Penn State connection, the running back room for Chez, and think this is the start of a fall back to obscurity for the Real Americans. So, I have the technical fouls winning this one big, you know, big fashion in week one. Randy, welcome back to the bottom of the pile, bud. Hope you enjoyed down there.
I love it. And not much more to add on. I agree. Technical fouls by a mile. I don't see this one being particularly close. I mean, top to bottom, the technical fouls are just the stronger team. I guess, you know, maybe QB Rando might have the edge there with Josh Allen. But running backs, wide receivers, tight end. George Kittle is the keeper. Come on, Randy.
He
Mark
can't
Andrews
do that.
Is going to absolutely destroy him. I see technical fouls by a double digits for this one for sure.
Ooh, I like that too. Okay. Yeah, so we see eye to eye there.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Next to last, we have Bolden Pabst versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans. ESPN has the Soup Cans favored by, 4.8. But, Eric, what do you think?
You know, I have another close one here. I think when it comes to two teams projected in the lower portion of the standings, it's so hard, like, to, you know, to call it in my mind. Like you said, it is relatively close. So, but I do think Dave is out to prove something this year, like we talked about. And the Soup Cans have far too many non-Steeler AFC North players on their roster for my liking, personally.
Yeah.
So in this matchup, I do have the Bolden the Pabst kicking off their bounce back surprise season in week one, topping the Soup Cans by a field goal, 3 points.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to have to – let me think about this, because honestly, I had planned on preparing a little bit more for this, but you know how the Poconos goes. It's not always easy to get online when you're out there. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's interesting that Diddy is favored by 4.8 points, because he didn't have any keepers this year.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see where ESPN is coming up with these points. Maybe they're thinking Lamar Jackson is going to have a big day. against the Jets, which I could definitely see.
I could see that.
Debo Samuel's maybe having a big game against the Bears. Definitely a possibility. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with you, Bolden Pabst, David Glancy, starting the year off strong. The commish, 1-0. I'm going with you there. And now, okay, I'll lead us off on this one because I want you to really feel free to break down this next and final game for us. Power and Vitality versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Ooh, another projected close one. You're projected to win by, 4.5 there. Boy, oh boy. You got Kyler Murray. You got John Taylor. He's got Aaron Rodgers. He's got Derrick Henry now, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. This is a tough one.
Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams. He's got a solid team.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell, though. I've personally never heard of him. That doesn't mean much, but, you know, doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth. Derrick Henry, playing against the Giants. That's probably going to be a pretty big game. But Jamar Chase going against the Steel Curtain, Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't see him having a good game. I see CeeDee Lamb putting up numbers against Tampa Bay. Devontae Adams, I don't see the chemistry being there in week one with Derek Carr. You know what? I'm going for power and vitality. But Eric, the floor is yours. Let's hear what you got. We're going to put music under this. We're going to make it a big show. So really, you know, let's break it down. Let's hear it. What do you got?
All right, you know, Denny's Gatorade has been, you know, boom or bust for many, many, many years. No denying that. And is still looking for their first championship in the Super Friends ownership history post-modern era. So, like you mentioned, I'm about a 4.5-point favorite as it stands tonight. You know, similar pedigree, except I got two trophies on the mantle. Call my own. You know, I'm usually battling every year, Tom, every year, just who sits atop the East Division. You know, so I like now how the season starts with a good tester for both teams. I think it comes down to grit. I think it how you lace up the boots on a nice crisp Sunday morning. Tom certainly strengthened that running back position with getting Henry on the board. But I personally love the Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson combo that he had in place prior to the trade. So even though I think Tom will be in position to make another run at it this year, the trade with Brian was sheepish, in my opinion. Pair that with his mind focused on moving last week to his new dwelling. I think Tom's going to be asleep at the wheel for this one. So not today, Tommy. Give me that Bohemian beer. You can hear that crack. I'll take my squad over the Gatorade in glorious fashion this week. Coming in with a great victory of at least double digits over Tom this week.
Tom. I love it. For power and vitality, talking a big game against Denny Irvine's Gatorade. I love it. I see it happening. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a big year for the Super Friends. I'll say that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, Eric, we won't keep you any longer. Give our best to Liv and that baby cooking in her. And, you know, give Leo, when I know he's asleep already, but give him a what up for me whenever he wakes up, all right?
Yeah, one day he'll have that fireball shot with you to tailgate, I promise.
Oh, that's going to be the best day of my life. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Eric, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Johnny.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
And that is the week one episode. Let's go. I'm so pumped. Thanks to the preseason king for hopping on the pod today. Next episode is going to be up Wednesday. Best of luck to everyone in the first week except Brian. And this has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'll be back next week. Until then, I'll see you in at Froggies. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a Super Fantasy Football Show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserved to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a Super Fantasy Football Show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of A Super Fantasy Football Show.